Trap, before we start the show, can you say this is Trap Gambino and you're listening to Renegade Radio? Or this is Trap Gambino, you're listening to the Dark Mark Show on Renegade Radio.
The Dark Mark Show?
Yes.
Okay. What's up, everybody? This is Trap Gambino, and you're listening to the Dark Mark Show on Renegade Radio.
Perfect. And now, whenever you're ready, we'll start the show. Got tons of questions for myself and from Charlie.
Just give me 1 second here. Okay, I got it. I had to find my pen. All right, I'm ready.
Where exactly was your pen? I hasten to ask.
It was underneath my left butt cheek.
I was going to say that, but I thought I was in your ass. I didn't know what was going on. Okay. Welcome to the lighter side of the dark side. It's your weekly freak show here on Renegade Radio and all podcast catchers, Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, YouTube, everywhere you listen to podcasts. It's a Dark Mark show. I'm Dark Mark, the goth comedian. And as always, everybody's favorite horror writer, Nicole Six.
Hello, I got the fireball tonight.
Yeah, you. I sent you this person's music video, and you're like, it seems like it's going to be a fireball show. And I think you're right. We've got, as if last week wasn't controversial enough, because we had Seraphine Ward, the 100, who has 100% serpent blood and was sued by Marilyn Manson. This week, thanks to Charlie Renegade and everybody at Renegade Radio, we have the bad boy of MMA. He's an actor, he's a rapper, he's a fighter. He's been on divorce court and Dr. Phil, and he's still married. And he's very fascinating. I can't wait to hear his story. It's Trap Gambino, straight from Vegas.
Woo!
What's up, Trap?
Hey, how you guys doing, man? Thanks for having me.
Yo, thanks for being on the show. I've got so many questions. I'll be honest with you. Unlike everybody on social media, I had never heard of you until before last week when Charlie told me about you. Charlie,
hey, man, fascinating. That's cool.
And we got a lot of questions.
Hey, man, that's cool. I'm happy to introduce myself to you, brother.
Because we need to increase our social media. And I also need to find out where a big guy like you gets such a beautiful wife. But before we do, we've got sponsors, too. And this is the best. I don't know if you're familiar with... I don't have a green screen. This is like my first time using the new iPad.
That I know that. Don't you hate that?
Yes. Now you see it. Now you see it. Now you don't. But you should see this, because this is the best energy drink out there. Raise energy drink. R-A-Z-E. You don't get this in 7-Elevens. You don't get this in gas stations. You see this at gyms, GNCs. This is actually my last one of the South Beach flavor, which tastes like a pina colada. The best part about it, these are the best tasting energy drinks. Zero carbs, zero calories, zero crash. And I know I'm going to need some energy to keep up with you. Let me pop that up. If you go to our show description on any podcast catcher you're listening to us on or YouTube, there will be a link where you can get 15% off a case of this. Trust me, I've tried all the energy drinks, all the Red Bulls, all the Rock Stars. This is the best. Get a case of this and wake up and, you'll be ready for the world. You'll be ready to party. You'll be ready to work. You'll be ready to do whatever you want. A couple things before we get started. First off, Charlie, and I know Nicole has already sent her condolences, and I have. My former co-host Hannah, her grandfather has passed away this week. He was on my birthday show, and we want to send her our condolences. Another patron say of the show to add to our friends Colin Monroe, Charlie, and Cleve Hall, and Liam, and other people that have been on the show and passed away. Hopefully this doesn't happen to our current guest. He lives for a long, long while, but Grandpa fought to the end. I saw him last week, and, I'm just glad he's not in pain anymore. So
my condolences, brother.
And our love to Grandpa. On better news, before we get started, congratulations to Opium Moon for being nominated for the Best New Age Artist on the Grammy. They were former guests, and now they're nominated for a Grammy. Did you know totally that, Nicole?
They totally deserve it.
Yes, Lily, Itai, they're all JC, all of them are great. So well deserved. So yeah, we've had Grammy winners, we've had Emmy winners, we've had Academy Award nominated and actors. We've had AVN Award winners. We've never had somebody that's been on Dr. Phil on the show before. Now we have. So we're going to get to that later. Trap Gambino, let me, Nicole, let me give you a synopsis of this story, because this is actually an inspiring and very twisty-turny story. Okay. Trap Gambino, shock to many people listening, not your real name.
Right.
Yeah, just in case you're wondering. Yeah. You are not part of the Gambino family. No, I'm not. You're not even Italian. Part of the
Gambino mafia crime family, no.
You're not even Italian.
No, I am Italian.
Oh, you're part Italian. Okay. Or you're full-blown Italian.
I mean, my mom says she's like half Indian or something like that. I think she's just full Dago like my dad. So, okay. Yeah, I'm Italian.
Right. And you grew up in, you were in Worcester, Ohio.
Yes, sir.
Where is Worcester, Ohio? I've been to
Worcester, Ohio is like a rinky dink town that's like a half hour south of Akron. It's an industrial town. So it's basically a little city in the middle of a bunch of cornfields.
Right. You're a suburb of Akron.
Yeah, kind of. I guess everything around that area though is like a suburb of Cleveland. Like Cleveland's where it's really at.
Right.
But, you know, you got to go an hour away from Cleveland, or you got to go an hour away from Worcester, where I'm from, to get to pretty much anywhere that's important. Right.
Because you're in Vegas, we're in LA. Akron to us is like a hick town. And then you're like,
yeah,
you're like a few steps down from that.
Yeah. Yeah. My wife is actually from Akron.
Okay. And that is the lovely Ashley Mob Wife Gambino, who was also.
Yes, sir.
Spider.
Yes, sir.
Although she's been busy, you know, having sex with you, having kids. So she, I don't think she hasn't fought in a while.
Yeah, but. Yeah. Those kids keep her busy. So I'm taking over for right now. But she'll be back. She'll be back in the cage, in the ring, all that. So
That's really fucking cool.
So this begs the question now. Who started MMA? Her or you?
Me. So okay. I started out as a fan. Like I grew up a pro wrestling fan. I still am a pro wrestling fan. Not so much the shit that's on TV nowadays, but I grew up in the Attitude Era. So I was
an talking shit
era
already. He's talking shit already.
But I was a fan of Brock Lesnar when he first got into MMA. My brother called me. He was like, "Hey man, Brock Lesnar is about to fight a real fight." And I'm like, no way. No, man, he's going to kill somebody because, you know, I'm a mark. I don't know anything about UFC or MMA at the time. And then I go over there and I see everybody talking trash that Brock Lesnar is going to get knocked out. He's a goofball. He's too big. He's too that. And then he goes in there and punches Heath Herring in the nose and it does like a roll on the cage. And I'm just like, I'm hooked from then on, man. So I became an MMA fan. And ever since then, I started first training my wife, and then I started training myself.
Okay, so technically, I guess she started first because you were training her.
Yeah, I guess so. So she started first, but I was her coach. Right. So basically, everything that she knew was through me, and the stuff that I didn't know, I would send her to people who did know what they're doing, and they would take care of her. And we were training like in our living room. Non-sexually, but we were training like on a bed in the basement and stuff like that too. Jiu-jitsu.
Bullshitter. There was some sexual.
it might have helped some grip strength she has, but there was some mats in the living room that we would literally just like we would just, you know, train what we seen on TV, and I would teach her like, I think this move would work for you, and then we would work really hard, and it ended up getting to the point where we took her to grappling tournaments. She started winning grappling tournaments against girls who were in like real gyms and had real coaches and stuff, and that's kind of where it all started.
Does she have a signature move?
She used to before her knees were injured. She used to be really, really good at the rubber guard. So okay. A rubber guard is it's like regular. I don't know if you know anything about jiu-jitsu, but it's like if somebody's on top of you, you take your leg and you kind of you put it so far up, it's like you curl it like this behind their head, and they're trapped. So they call it missionary position, rubber guard. But yeah, she's super flexible, and she's good at tapping people out. Jiu-jitsu is her strength.
Right. So I've seen that. So like you get a triangle choke in that position with the legs and that. Type
yeah.
Of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Big guys like me could never pull that off.
Actually, Funny you should say that, because Amazon Eve, who is 6'8" and was an American Horror Story, did the triangle choke with her legs on me, and that I had to tap out on the show. But that's neither here nor there. Anyway, so Nicole, I will tell you that Ashley, who goes by Ashley Mob Wife Gambino, she is in. I mean, yeah, she's in. I've seen. I was perusing her Facebook, and there's a picture of her, like, and she was in phenomenal shape at one time. I mean, her back was all ripped, and I've seen her in a couple of her fights where she beat guys up.
I could see that.
Yeah, she's a tough girl, man. She's like, I feel like we're the yin and the yang, because I'm the not so serious showman type, and she's the, like, fuck the show, I'm just here to fight. I'm, you know, she's really scrappy. She's a real fighter, man.
Right. And so you guys were training in Ohio, and well, first off, the other thing too is that you were over 400 pounds.
Yes, I was 465 pounds when I started training boxing, and right. I just did it in my living room. It was basically at the same time I was coaching Ashley. I was in my living room just hitting the bag. It started off with like 30 seconds. The next day I would do 45 seconds. I would just build up. And I got from 465 pounds to 380 pounds. And then when we moved to Vegas, I was out here training in big time gyms and stuff like that, but I wasn't losing weight. I was working really hard, but I wasn't losing weight. And then, after the whole Dr. Phil show, I went vegan, and now the vegan diet has brought me down to 340, and I'm losing weight rapidly. And I mean, it's changed everything about me mentally, physically, financially. Yeah. Really? Veganism has definitely changed me.
I would think being vegan would be more expensive.
Not really, because, well, it depends on like your lifestyle. So for me, I never cooked. I'd always just ate out, you know, Chipotle, Cane's chicken, all that stuff every other day. So, I mean, I don't even remember the last time I ordered fast food, to be honest. I cook every day.
That's good. Yeah, that's, I'm thinking of becoming a vegan, because my mother became vegan. She had a mild heart attack this year. She went vegan and dropped a lot of weight, and all of her vital signs are so much better.
Oh, and wow. Congratulations.
That's awesome. Our former co-host Hannah is, she has a podcast of her own, Vegans Uncensored, and she's been a vegan for years, and she's cajoled. And Nicole, are you still vegetarian, or did you eat?
I'm a vegetarian, yeah. And I've lost, I know it's not going to sound anything in comparison, but so I'm on medication for my bipolar disorder, and that makes you gain weight like crazy. So I've been trying to find a diet, and I found this is a vegetarian diet. It's a low carb, high protein, high veggie, and I just eat that, and I've lost 5 pounds in the last month. So I finally found a diet that worked. I used to be a bad vegetarian, not like a cheating or anything, but I used to eat like carbs and a bunch of other stuff, you know, so it wasn't really helping me lose weight. But then with this new one, I've just, it comes right off.
Yeah, people have this misconception that vegans are like, they have to be healthy. Like, it's funny, I got the word vegan on my profile, and people see that I'm like almost 400 pounds. They're like, how the hell are you like a 400 pound vegan? But they don't understand, like, you can be vegan and still eat unhealthy food, although I'm not trying to do that, but you can definitely eat unhealthy food. It's hard to stay on a healthy diet, even with veganism.
I know fat vegans, I know fat vegetarians and fat vegans. And yeah, but it's yeah. So I think the world's coming to that. I think maybe in 100, 200 years, people will be like, you guys used to eat meat. Cause I think everything's sliding down the, to vegan now, as far as
unnecessary, like we were trained to believe it was necessary to eat meat, but it really isn't. And if you can get through life without killing animals, I think that's a good thing.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. I just don't try to preach it too much, because, you know, I sound like a hippie and all that. So
yeah.
Well, you can sound
like, I always tell people I'm vegetarian, but I don't mind if you eat meat. Like, I make sure they feel comfortable. It's not like it offends me.
It's so hard going to restaurants and going to like parties and stuff and having to refuse like delicious food, because, like, I'm not going to lie, like, I still want to eat the chicken and stuff, but I tell them like, no, I'm vegan. And like, half the people don't even know what the hell that means. So like my wife has been starting, because my wife and my kids went vegan with me. My whole family's vegan now. And my wife just starts telling people like, no, I got food allergies. So she won't even, you know, just to avoid the argument. Sometimes it's easier because people just don't understand, like, how could you not eat meat?
And being vegetarian is slightly easier. Like, I don't have to worry if there's butter on something or things like that. It does give you more options. But at some point in my life, I might end up fully vegan. We'll see.
Right. Yeah. It's tough. You gotta, being vegan, you gotta read the back of everything and like,
yeah,
and hope that there's a vegan version of something that tastes just the same.
Now you say that, but that was one of Charlie Renegade's questions, is about your veganism. And I wanted to ask, being a fighter in training, not getting the animal protein, does that affect you? Or do you think you're stronger? Do you think you're weaker?
You know, I feel way stronger, to be honest. I'm getting my protein in other ways, but I feel way stronger. Like when I ate meat before, I felt a lot. I just felt sluggish. I felt like, I don't know, I wasn't digesting it right. I don't know if it, I'm not saying like veganism is for everybody, but I feel like veganism was for me because I abused meat for almost 30 years. I abused food for almost 30 years of my life. And I was like morbidly obese. Mm-hmm. And because of that, my diet just, I couldn't handle meat without just getting sick almost every time.
Right. No, I'm with you. And I'm looking to lose weight. So I like to say, I think veganism might be right around the corner, although it is Thanksgiving and, you know, I don't want to insult the parents with the turkey and everything, but
yeah, I know my wife's in Ohio right now. I don't know what she's going to do with her family. So
yeah, that's all
good. Are you going to have a tofu turkey or are you just going to have side dishes like I am?
Unfortunately, we're not going to have Thanksgiving together this year, but, my wife and her family, I don't know what they're going to do. I'm not going to have Thanksgiving. I'm going to be training. So I'm currently in fight camp right now.
It's a lot easier in Vegas to be vegan than Ohio, I would imagine.
Yeah, 100%. It's everything's easier in Vegas, especially than Ohio.
Especially Worcester, Ohio. You got to drive by all the cows and everything else.
Well, no, honestly, see, this is the weird thing. Worcester's like a city, but it's a tiny city, and it's in the middle of a bunch of cows and farms and stuff like that. So you have to go outside of Worcester to see the cows and like the Amish and all that stuff, but It's a really weird city because a lot of people from Detroit moved over to Worcester like back in the early 90s because they thought it was like, you know, a town ready to get, you know, ready to get made. And that kind of, I don't know, ghettoized the fucking city a little bit, man. And it's a really strange place.
Interesting. I might have to take a trip to Worcester so you see what's going on there. It sounds
yeah, I definitely
crazy.
Do.
Sounds like a, yeah, I don't know. It's like if
there's some stories there.
Took North Las Vegas or East LA and just plopped in the middle of a cornfield.
Dude, seriously, it kind of is. So, if you ever go over there, let me know because my uncle has a club. My uncle owns a club over there. And I'll hook you up. So,
oh, okay, great. well, this begs the question, and this is, I kind of want to get into this. Because as Nicole knows, I sort of lost my mojo. You were a 450-pound guy, but you were confident enough that, you know, you were able to seduce your wife.
Well, you know what? I think when we met, I was actually, I don't even know how light I was, but we met, we were basically high school sweethearts, but we weren't in high school together. But we met like 13 years ago. We've been through everything together. And I've never really had a problem with the girls, man. I don't know if it's a confidence thing, but some girls like fat guys, some girls don't. I've learned to live with it.
Not around here.
Yeah. But I don't like fat guys.
I was just gonna say in LA there's a lot of pressure to be skinny for both sexes. It's just a skinny town.
Yeah, I noticed. You know, it's weird because Vegas and LA are so close together, but the vibes are so damn different. Like everything is so much more accepted out here. Like I feel like out here, like you could walk around in your pajamas and not be judged. Of course they do the same thing in LA, but that might be on like Hollywood, you know? I don't know. Vegas just seems just multicultural and accepting. And I think there's something about everything, everybody coming do here and just like passing through. That's it gives this place a certain vibe.
I lived in Vegas for a number of years, and when I saw a video of yours where you were at the Peppermill, I'm like, oh yeah, I remember the Peppermill. By the way, whether you're a big guy like us or not, and you're married, but just if you live in Las Vegas, taking a girl out on the first date, take her to the Peppermill.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good first date. Nicole, you're familiar with the Peppermill?
Yeah, our friend Matt Kuhn took me and Chris there. We were in Vegas together.
The Flaming Jacuzzi, did you get those seats?
No, I don't.
Yeah, you get right on the Flaming Jacuzzi.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That experience. I think we just took whatever was available that night because they were so busy.
Yeah, a lot of people, it's a very well-kept secret that we're letting out, but Peppermill is great. But
yeah, that and Capo's is a decent place too.
Where else?
I was going to say Capo's is a decent place too. Nice and darkly lit. It's a speakeasy, so you have to like knock on the door and give them a password to let you in and stuff. It's like a nostalgic thing. It's pretty cool.
Check it out. Yeah.
Yeah, they got an Italian guy there serenading you the whole time. You're drinking wine and the meatballs are like $80, but it's a good place.
You're vegan, so you're not paying for that shit.
Yeah, I haven't been there in forever.
Right. So anyway, so that was one of the questions that Charlie had. First, he said, ask about food and veganism. I checked that. A fighting, we're getting to that. Girls and pimping. Now, is your pimp hand strong? What's he talking about with the pimping?
I have no idea what he's talking about with that. But I can talk about girls for days, man. I don't know.
Is this like, I mean, because you have your persona, and I'm going to transition quickly from that to what I'm really interested in is how you became such a hit on social media. Even before your first MMA fight.
Yeah, man. A lot of people get this misconception of me because I take a lot of pictures with girls and stuff like that. They think I'm like, I don't know, a character that I'm not. And I really don't try to portray myself as somebody I'm not. I really am this guy. Like the limo, if you see me riding in the limo, it's not like the limo CGI or anything, you know, like all that stuff is real. But I don't know. I get a lot of people talking about how I'm crazy on social media and everything like that, but I really don't see it. I see it's like, I don't know. I'm just,
you're just living your life.
Yeah. And like my wife doesn't have a problem with me taking like pictures with girls and stuff like that. She knows it's all for promotion and she likes eye candy just as much as I do. So,
according to your song, your rap song Villain, you get a babysitter so that you can bring bitches to your bitch.
I mean,
is that just for the song, or is that something that's actually happened?
I mean, you know, there's truth behind every lyric, you know.
Okay, that's enough said.
Yeah, man. When you were asking about social media, so you know, if you really, really want to dig back into where it really started,
I really do.
I would say like 2014, 2000 or 2004, 2003, and like MySpace days, back when you had to like write in HTMLs and all that stuff and encrypt your own websites and put the graphs up and all that stuff. That was me on there promoting my music. It all started with music. And I would have girls on there posting like I love trap on their boobs and stuff. It, you know, fan signs from back in the day. And I would say that's where I really began to learn about like how social media marketing works and how it can help you.
Well, please educate me because I think I'm still in those days and I'm still doing that. How did you, I mean, since, as things have evolved and you're, you know, you become a big influencer in an Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok. We'll get to your OnlyFans and your wife's OnlyFans in a second, but you're in a TikTok world, or what's the next thing? I don't even know, but
The next thing is the metaverse for sure, and not just the Facebook metaverse, because Facebook, I feel like Facebook kind of just took that name to like, now that when somebody thinks metaverse, they think fucking Facebook, which is actually not what the metaverse is. But I feel like the metaverse is probably the future, which is like another world aligned with our world, but it's augmented. I can never say that fucking
augmented.
Word. Augmented. Okay. There you go. And like people are already buying real estate in this reality, like Tesla's already buying property. You got arcades and bars and everything that's already being set up into this metaverse. And I have a feeling that that might be the future, because the real estate is going for a lot. And like, if you can buy a little block of real estate in the metaverse and say, make it like a virtual bar, to where, you know, you don't want to go to a bar in your house, but you want to go, or you don't want to go to a bar out of your house. You want to go to a bar in your house, but you can only order drinks from, you know, an app or something, if you go to a certain bar in the metaverse. Like, I feel like that's how it's going to start working. I feel like it's, the metaverse is definitely the future.
Really? They're just going to, it's going to be like The Sims now.
I think there's going to be
like Ready Player One or something like that.
I think there'll be a split between the people that want to stay at home and people that want to go out, because there's a lot of people that still want to like physically go out.
Right. Right. A lot of people go stir crazy. And you know, the craziest thing about this is like, every time I talk about this to somebody, like if I'm in a room with like 10 people, like three of them actually get like super offended about this idea because of that exact thing that you said. Like people feel like this is like taking away their lives, taking away, like realism. Like, why do you want to do that when we can just do it for real and stuff like that? And I kind of agree with that, but unfortunately I do feel like it's the way, I feel like our world is heading towards like Ready Player One type stuff. I don't know if you've seen that movie, but it's like,
yeah,
or the Free Guy, you know, I don't know if you've seen that. That's a new one, but right. Yeah.
All in a world. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think absolutely. The digital empire is definitely growing, but it's still the same concept as like gamers and people that are into augmented reality or VR. Mm. There will still be people who want to go out. Like, I can't spend all in my apartment, and I'm a writer, and that's an introverted thing to do, but I get right. to go out and have a drink in the real world. I want to go meet a bartender. I want to go meet people.
Yeah, exactly.
I still want to go out.
Yeah, those are the people that are on social media. Those are the ones that become big followers, and they're the ones that are, you know, engaging with Trap.
You know, well, I feel like
people on social media, there's the people that want to go out and take pictures doing things like travel and bars and foodies and stuff like that. Then there's the other ones who just are on social media to follow other people. They want to see
right,
what
the other people are. Yeah, to her point, I feel like she's definitely right. Like, there's two different types of people. Like, there's people like us who, like, you know, we're in Vegas and, you know, we can go out and we can meet friends, or you're in LA, we can go out and meet friends and hang out. But, you know, some of us are like Bob in fucking like Wilburg, Wisconsin. Right. And like, we don't have shit. We can't even get off the couch because we're too lazy and disgusting to have confidence to go out. But we can be like, you know, Bob the superhero in the metaverse and pretend to be somebody that we're not. And I have a feeling a lot of people are going to take that route.
I agree with that. And also, let's say someone like Britney Spears or Paris Hilton bought a bar in the metaverse. Her fans are going to go to that because her fans are already
gone. Yes, yes. I'm actually working on, so I'm not working on it, but I'm working on developing a character for a video game in a metaverse. It's like it's labeled after Magic, the video game. And I wish I had the fucking name for you right now, because I could promote it, but I don't. I literally just signed this deal with this guy, but I'm about to be a character in the metaverse. So that's going to be pretty cool.
That's great. So how did you accumulate this big social media following? You got the MySpace thing, and then everything transferred over to Facebook. And you just, is it just following and talking shit about MMA fighters? Or, I mean, how did this happen?
No, definitely not. So, you know, as crazy as it sounds, I would say destiny, man. I would say that it was meant to be. The first like big, like kind of big thing I ever did was I started off being a sponsor for MMA fight for female MMA fighters. And a lot of people don't know about this, but I run a brand called Made, and we sell like clothes, and, you know, it's more like a lifestyle brand. And back in 2014, I sponsored Tanya Evinger for three fights. One of those fights was a world championship fight for Invicta, and she had our logo on her ass when she won the world title, which was pretty fucking dope. And that got me a lot of attention. It got Ashley a lot of attention. I'm this big guy with a hot girl. I'm good at promoting myself, and I'm good at promoting Ashley. Everything that you see on Ashley's Facebook is all me. Everything you see on her Instagram is all my promotion.
You had to pay extra for the ass.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it depends on what. If you follow Instagram, not so much. There's a lot of ass on there.
No, but I mean, if she's an MMA fighter, and you know, she'll probably be knocked down to the ground, her ass is gonna be up in the air. So,
You're talking about that? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, I thought you were talking about something completely different. Yeah.
I was literally talking about ass. No, I was talking about yeah. ass.
See, my mind's going somewhere else, man.
Yeah, so we're all except for Nicole's now. Nicole's like, shut
but
up.
Yeah, that's kind of where I like, I don't want to say I like injected myself in the MMA world, but if some people consider me a poison, so that's when the poison injected itself into the MMA world, when I got my chance to sponsor really, really top level fighters. And ever since then, I started just, you know, accumulating, like, you know, I got, because of the sponsors, I got fans from her fans. And then I started using that to like post my own videos of my own training. And then I would get Ashley some fans. And then it just all just kind of spiraled out of control, really, until I got a bunch of trolls on social. Well, not really a bunch. It's probably like three guys with like a bunch of fake profiles. But right. I got these trolls on social media, and they definitely helped promote me, like probably more than any PR team ever could. They got me on Dr. Phil.
So, yeah, we're gonna talk about that in just a second, but
yeah, those guys helped a lot when it comes to my problems.
Thank you, troll. We're gonna talk about the trolls, Dr. Phil, your fights, everything else. But before we do, there's another sponsor. It's a Renegade sponsor, and tell. I'm sure you know about it, Trap, but tell the rest of the audience about Renegade Kush and Renegade CBD.
Yeah, so Renegade is the shit, man. I love Renegade. They're sponsoring me for this fight, actually. So I can make this an announcement on the show. I'm fighting January 22nd, and that's for Rise Fighting Championship. And I'll be representing Renegade. So Renegade will be on my fight shorts and on my banner. Renegade super loyal as a brand, and I love those guys. So, I mean, they got me on the show. So shout out to them big time, man.
How much to put the dark march on your ass?
I don't know. I might do it for free.
Well, it'll be my face on your ass. Anyway, Nicole.
I like the logo. The logo's pretty dope, actually.
I appreciate it. Nicole, you've been using the CBD bath salts, and those are great, right?
They are. And if you're thinking about Christmas presents, the chocolates are delicious, and they also come in sugar-free form. So you
finally got the chocolates?
No, I haven't got the white chocolate yet. I'm still waiting on that. Hopefully it'll be a white Christmas.
My wife's got to try those bath salts.
Oh, they're great. The bath bombs are amazing.
She's big in it, though. She's had two knee surgeries, so she needs some bath
salts. That's exactly what they're made for, because they help relieve pain and inflammation by soaking in them.
So go to RenegadeKush.com and RenegadeCBD.com and medicate yourself this Christmas. By the way, Santa Claus is confirmed. He's coming on in a few weeks. So,
yay! Are we doing it in the studio or on Zoom?
We're doing it in the studio. I've got
good, because then we can have spankings.
Well, we're definitely having spankings. Anyway, that's a little preview. So, here's where I get to do my Dr. Phil impression, because you had all these trolls now. Here's the thing. Now, I was watching the Dr. Phil thing again today, and you're like, you know, and you're training, you're building up a social media base. So obviously promotions are interested in you to put seats in, you know, you've got an online following, and most fighters, whether they're skilled or not, do not. So, you know, not UFC, but the minor league promotions, I don't say minor league, but the smaller promotions want a name like yours. And, you know, especially your first fight would be, you know, people would be very curious. So you're like, oh, all these promotions are, what was just the exact thing you said? They were.
I need bug spray to keep these promoters off.
Bug spray to keep
me.
Them off, and Dr. Phil's like, you need bug spray to keep them off. Meanwhile, he approached you.
That's so you didn't do
the bug spray on Dr. Phil. He wanted you on the show.
That was a great impression, by the way. But that's true, man. His producers approached me because of the trolling and stuff like that. So
how did they hear about it?
And, you know, I have no idea. I think it was just, you know, it might be the trolls. They write into like everybody about me, man. I'm on random Reddit websites, random sites that I've never even been on that have like, they'll take videos and texts and stuff out of context. They'll straight up make up fake profiles and everything about me, man. It's pretty crazy. But to be honest, I've learned to live with it and love it because they promoted me more than anything else that I've ever done.
I mean, this is, you know, I don't know how.
They try to ruin my life and they do the complete opposite.
No, no, not the trolls. Now, that's the thing. I trust me, I was looking for the last troll that sent a comment on one of the YouTube things, but they was just, I forget what it was, but it was, they were like, you know, you suck, you ask stupid questions, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, thanks for listening. I mean, thanks for watching. That's all you can do.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Thanks I would rather flick, somebody right? say, you know what, you suck, and I'm sure there's going to be plenty of people that do that after this show, rather than they didn't see it.
Right. Yeah, it's a weird thing, man. Like, I've learned that there's people that'll just, like, go on there just to be negative no matter what. And then there's people, like, the people that I have on my side are, I don't know if they're, like, they're a little darker, man, because they really take time to like go and create profiles and create scenarios and shit that don't exist and manipulate friends and fans of mine and some family. It's crazy. Yeah. They really go out of their way to like,
Nicole's had some experience with that. I've never had anybody create a fake profile.
I was just thinking, I recently found out someone tried to sue me over something I said in an email that I sent to another person.
That's crazy, man. That's shit.
People spend time on their hands. Also, I think there was a misconception. I have more money than I do.
Yeah, there was. That's another thing that the Dr. Phil show tried to tell me that I was portraying that I'm rich or something that I'm not. And it's funny because he actually showed a picture up on the screen, a picture of me like in cornrows or something like that. And he was like, "You're portraying that you're rich, but you're not. You're just struggling like everybody else." And literally the caption of the picture said, I'm still in the hood, but one day I'll be out the hood, but I'll be hood forever or something like that. In other words, like admitting that I'm in the hood, you know what I mean? And I've never told anybody that I'm rich or that I got a lot of money because I don't. I'm broke as fuck and everybody knows that.
My lifestyle isn't as glamorous as yours, but I get invited to a lot of cool parties because people just
exactly.
like it. It has nothing to do with the money. It's people want me there.
Yeah, if they only knew how many of those photo shoots that I had to Uber to, you know what I mean? Like, these people don't know that.
I did see the Peppermill thing when you were like on your way to the lingerie fighting championships, which we'll talk about in a second. You did pull out a nice crisp wad of $1 bills.
$1, 100. Yeah. That's just like, you know, it's $100 in dollar bills. So it
was,
yeah. So that's just strip club bill. Thing. Yeah. And that was like, I mean, still, that's like half rent back then. You know what I mean? Like, so. Oh shit! Sorry, I got a call.
Uh-oh, that's okay. The whole Dr. Phil experience. Now, so he doesn't pay you, although he flew you to LA, put you up in a hotel, I'm sure, and then.
But we definitely took advantage of the hotel amenities. So this is, I got to tell you something. I've never told anybody this on a podcast before. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you have to know.
Dark Mark Show exclusive, please.
You're a comedian. You would appreciate this. A lot of people don't know that Dr. Phil himself actually pays for those hotel rooms. Like himself. Like when you get the fucking, like the receipt, it says like from Dr. Phil Show. Like it's hilarious. And the thing that makes it funnier is when we got the bill, he actually paid for the sex toys that was in the hotel room because they leave you in the Hollywood Roosevelt hotel room. They leave you with like a box. And if you open the box, there's like a vibrator, a fucking condom. Right. And so, of course, we go ham. You know what I'm saying? We're in Hollywood. It's Dr. Phil. So he ended up paying for that experience.
Dr. Phil bought your sex toys. Well, that's
yeah,
that's better than making $500 or whatever. Yeah
exactly, right?
He's such a weirdo, he probably gets off on that.
It's fucking hilarious. Man, I was wondering, I was sure. Like, I'm sure the producers laughed when they saw that.
You're not the only one to take advantage of that.
Right, right.
Cash my side, how about that? Probably took advantage of that. And she was 14. Yeah,
it was quite the experience. They didn't pay you well, but
they didn't pay you at all, as far as I know. But you did get, they paid you in vibrators, apparently. And,
yeah, exactly. They paid you in amenities.
Butt plugs and like, all sorts of things.
Yeah, and like, you know, like daily par diems and stuff like that.
So you were on at a weird time. You were on at a weird time because it was during the pandemic. So there's no audience in there. They had an audience on.
I wish there was.
I'm sitting there like, how? I can understand going to LA, like, oh, I want to see the Dr. Phil show in person. How pathetic you have to be sitting in your room watching Dr. Phil virtually just on the off chance he might actually say hi to you.
Yeah, they sell them on the fact that they're you know, super fans will be chosen to be the audience. So they don't pay them. They just sell them on the fact. So fun fact, I used to be really deep into acting in 2019. And background work is something that I did a lot of. And I was an audience member for a couple game shows and TV shows and stuff like that. And they actually pay those guys. And
I did that in Vegas for Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Oh, okay. So you already know. They tell you to clap and all that shit and your hands hurt after 8 hours.
No, a temp agency hooked me up with that. I just needed to...
A temp agency?
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy. Is that how LA works?
No, this was in Vegas. I lived in Vegas at the time.
That's fucking crazy.
This was like 2017. And the funniest thing about it is there were a couple people they had to... there were like 9 people they had to fire. Because either they were sleeping or they were on their phone... or they're mugging for the camera.
Yeah.
And it was like, I was sitting next to this dude, and like 2 hours later, he's like, you think we're going to get a break? I'm like, a break from what? We're watching a fucking TV show. And like, yeah. And then like, but seriously, they were like, they were yelling at some people and kicking them out because they were.
Yeah. When you do that work. So I've done real acting work too. And I've done work like that. But when you do that kind of acting work, that's like when they throw you in there with like some people that aren't really actors. And a lot of them are just like there just to, you know, get money. Some of them are fucking homeless, man. I swear to God, a lot of these random the people in the audience are like, I hate audience work. I did Catch 21 here in Vegas. Oh, shit. I did Catch 21 here in Vegas with fucking Carlton, you know, off of Fresh Prince.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that was fun, man. I did that for like 8 weeks.
And yeah. So Dr. Phil now, you've said on other podcasts, and I know it to be true, that they edited a lot of stuff out.
Oh, yeah.
Did they edit all the good stuff out? Because I got to be honest, and it's not your fault, but like, it was, you. First off, you were not yourself on the show.
Right.
So what did they edit out?
So they edited out pretty much everything good that he said. And a lot of great points that I made, like he said a lot of good things that like defended me. He was like, well, your haters say this and that, and that's obviously not true. So why do you do this and that? But they took out the, that's obviously not true part, you know? And like we went into deep explanation to explain like how Ashley and me are good parents and how Ashley's not a meth head, but they'll say this shit. Like there was a point where he looked at her and the audience laughed and he was like, well, you obviously don't look like a meth head. And the audience, ha 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 ha, you know, they cut that all out. And
yeah, you always said laugh once.
Yeah. One of the things that they really, really, really bothered me is I don't even know if you knew Ashley was like 9 months pregnant during that show.
You could tell that she was pregnant, not 9 months pregnant.
But yeah. But she was, or maybe she was like 7 months or something. She was about to pop. She was really up there. But they basically cut out like everything that had to do with her stomach. Like they made sure not to show her stomach a lot in the show. And like there was times where she was like holding her stomach and the camera would not pan to her, you know, it would just zoom in on her face. And it was like, they were trying to portray a picture to where they didn't even want people to know that I had a kid on the way. Because if they even know I had a kid on the way, even that would have a little bit more sympathy for me. Like there's such a, you know, they were really manipulative. And the whole part where he said I was delusional, I didn't catch this until after the show, but I remember it. So they call you a million times in the build up to the show, just to interrogate you and to build a portfolio profile. And so they asked me, like, what's the one word that the trolls tell you that bothers you the most? And of course I was like, delusional. That word bothers me. I don't understand that fucking word. Why do they call me delusional? I'm not fucking delusional. So like, the show was going really well for us. Dr. Phil, me, we're vibing. They cut to a commercial break. Somebody comes up and they talks to them. I don't hear what the fuck they're saying. They leave. Cameras come back on. Dr. Phil looks at me. He says, "You're delusional." And I was like,
that is so tacky.
I was like, okay, so the show was going too good. Now you got to try to fucking vibe me up. Like, I feel like the show was just going too well for me. And he tried to like poke me to like get me to go. And they took out everything that I said to like combat the fact that I was delusional. Yeah, it's crazy. It's
a lot of poking, and you didn't say much back. And I mean,
It just showed me like shaking my head yes, like 8 times. It was like the same clip. It was fucked up, man.
I would have done like a Crispin Glover and just went up to him and like just to see him flinch.
I told my homie like I should have definitely like tackled somebody or something just to make some good television. Cause like,
say, look, let me demonstrate the MMA for you, how good I am. And
yeah, I feel like that show was boring because they cut out all the good shit. To be honest, it was boring and kind of confusing. Cause like, he was like, "You're lying about this, but you're not lying about this, but this is real, but it's not real. You're a piece of shit, but you're a good guy. All right, have a nice day. You ain't going to accept help." Like, well, it doesn't make any sense.
Plus, I was boring because Dr. Phil's boring and the show sucks. But, and he, well, for some question. Reason,
how, why, what help did you need?
So, this is, so the guy who like made fun of me for being too heavy to do push ups on the show was the guy who was supposed to help me, I guess, assess my life or something like that. Life coach. He was supposed to coach my life. So after the show, I told him, I was like, I'd rather have, like, I want anybody but that fucking guy. Like, anybody but that fucking guy. And they was like, okay, cool. Call us after you guys get home. So I called him because I wanted to keep following up with this. You know, I got my foot in the door, so I want to get a follow-up show. I'm trying to get all the clout I can possibly get from this, you know? So I called him like 20 fucking times. And by the time I finally got through, they were like, look, Coach Mike is the guy who runs the life coaching business, who works for Dr. Phil. And he says that he doesn't want to work with you. So they're not going to work with you. So they're not going to help you. Yeah, so I wanted help. They just refused. And then they put the show out and said, I refused to help, which is not true.
But but what happened off camera with you guys? Because on camera, it didn't seem like there was that big. It didn't seem like he was that big an asshole on camera.
But I mean, other than like him trying to fat shame me on camera, he just, I don't like that fucking guy. Like when we left off camera.
The push-up like, thing, is that what it was?
Do what?
The push-ups thing?
Yeah. He was like, you want to be an MMA fighter, right? Yes. Can you do 10 push-ups? And I that caught me off guard. So I was just trying to be funny. I was like, I could probably make it up to 5. Of course I could do 10 fucking push-ups. And he was like, well, you don't want to be an MMA fighter. You know what I mean? And that just, who the fuck does that? You know what I mean? Well,
here's the other thing too. How about Dr. Phil does 10 fucking push-ups? Dr. Phil came out with a weight loss book. He's fucking fat. Take it from two fat guys. He's fat.
That would be funny.
Had that weight loss book, and they were skinny.
Maybe next time I'll come on the show and like I'll just drop down, do like 20 push-ups before I do anything.
And I love his little. I love his little. Like he was trying to be hip too. Like I forget what he said when he. Who are these trolls, man? Who are these people that are dogging you out, man? Like, dude, give me a break.
Yeah, he made it seem like I'm lying about everything I'm saying. And I showed him that I'm clearly fucking not. Like, these promoters, I swear on anything. Promoters hit me up at least every other fucking day from different fucking amateur organizations, some professional organizations.
I believe you.
Think I'm professional. and like just all over. They want me to fight.
To get your first fight, I would imagine they would, absolutely.
Yeah, and I mean, I've had my first fight already. I don't know.
We're gonna talk about that, but yeah, obviously but like not UFC or
Bellator, even after that, big companies like Bare Knuckle Boxing have tried to book me, and like, but of course, some of them want to build me, some of them want to feed me, most of them want to feed me. But I got with a company that wants to build me, and that's why I'm with them now.
Yeah. So, you know, I guess the big thing was there was one thing that they discussed on the show where you said about a one-armed fighter that he could be doing the Dr. Phil voice. You said about somebody they could be the number one contender. And that got kicked out of a gym?
Yeah. Well, not kicked out of a gym. It got me kicked off of a fight team. Yeah. And ironically, I'm training with like most of the people that was also kicked out of the fight team. And that guy has moved, the main coach has moved to another state and he's been exposed a while ago. So I'm not even worried about that anymore. So fuck Nick Newell. I can say that straight up now.
All right. Fuck Nick Newell. I don't know him, but I will say, one of my best friends is a comedian who has one arm and he has tons of nub and nubber jokes. Did the one arm fighter really take that much offense to it?
You know what he did, but there's a reason he did is because me and him have a personal beef. And that's what I was hoping it would stay as between me and him, because he's a grown ass man. If he's going to say, so this is what happened. My wife used to box people out on Fremont Street. She used to straight up just like go out on Fremont Street. She was a registered street performer, so it wasn't just she was a random out there. And she would have her time slot 2 hours at a time, and she would hold gloves up and say, tip me to spar me. And she would make $300 in 2 hours on an average. And it was crazy, man. We were making good money there for a while. And so Nick Newell, say that again.
Men or women?
Always men. No women ever did it for some reason. No women ever did it. I don't know why. I think some women did it just to like pose and stuff like that. But I just think they knew it would like get personal or something. But it was always men. But she got like legit USC fighters and stuff to come up to her. Like Dana White came up to her. Nick Diaz came up to her. Mm-hmm. And one of the, not a UFC fighter, but an MMA fighter came up to her was Nick Newell. She didn't know he was an MMA fighter. And he was like, hey, I'll put on the gloves and spar with you. And she was like, you know, like, no offense, but, you know, I don't want to spar anybody who's handicapped. And she said it really politely to him. And he fucking, like, not knowing who he was, you know, he went on to Twitter and was like, oh, this fucking girl's a fucking joke. And just made this big tweet about Ashley and how she's embarrassing the MMA community because she's out here sparring drunk guys. And then I got on there and I started talking shit to him, like, you know, fuck you, you know, suck a dick, you know, whatever I said. And then he went back at me and was talking about how I got titties. So I was like, hey, at least I can wear a bra, you know? Yeah. And then it just went to like titty jokes, nub jokes, titty jokes, nub jokes. And then it got to the point where I was like, I seen a post of his that he made it to Bellator, which is a big league. Congratulations, yeah, Nick Newell. And I said that he could be the number one contender, which might or might not have been a spelling error. And I got kicked off the team for that.
So it was, that makes more sense. So there, see, this is the stuff that Dr. Phil did not clarify. So there was legitimate beef. It wasn't like a...
Yeah, for sure. I was beefing over him talking shit about my wife.
Right. So, by the way, my friend Joe was a big wrestling star, and he said that having half an arm was an advantage because it's less to grab onto. Dude,
yeah, you know what? I kind of feel the same, man. Like, I kind of feel like, so let's be real. Like, anybody who does anything fucking athletic with one arm, that's amazing, dude. And like, congratulations to everything that Nick Newell has ever accomplished outside of who he is as a person. What he's accomplished, I have nothing but respect for. But yeah, man, I do feel like you got a couple advantages that, like, I can't armbar him from the left side and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. So yeah, he took a guy, tried doing an ankle pick on him and didn't have enough arm. But Anybody who steps in the cage, you got to have respect for. Now, before I talk about your experience in the cage and your upcoming experiences in cage, that's not the only guy I did. Cause you do talk shit.
Yeah, of course. Of course. It's part of the game, man.
I realized you went on Dr. Phil for the exposure and you're not sitting here crying, even though it made you seem like it, you're not sitting around crying cause somebody, you know, made a joke about your back fat or whatever else I've seen online. You're like, right. Okay, whatever, fuck you, and that's it. But
yeah, I've been working on that, by the way. So I've been doing some lats and all that. I think they'll be impressed with my back titties the next fight.
I look forward to it. Well, because you wore a shirt.
They're going from back titties to back pecs.
Right. Well, your wife definitely has pecs, so you got to work out with her. But you wore a shirt your first fight. Are you going to take it off for the second fight?
I think so, yeah. I think that shirt inhibited me in a lot of ways, to be honest, yeah.
Well, because I remember, I'm old enough. When I was a kid, I used to watch, like, Hoist Gracie with my dad and stuff, and he used to wear a gi, and he would win, but it's like, they're like, oh, you shouldn't wear clothes, something you can grab onto. But
yeah, especially not a rash guard, which is kind of made to, like, make you a little hotter, you know what I mean? Like, right. I don't know. I probably should have went shirtless in there. It was just a confidence issue. You know, being a fat guy, I don't want to go shirtless anywhere. I go shirtless in the pool and sauna, so I don't know why I didn't go shirtless in the fight. You see a lot of flying titties in still photos of the fight. So
hundreds of thousands
the issue people, with that one.
There's thousands of people watching.
Yeah. Well, fuck those people. I'm working on myself. I know that I'm in a body right now that's so temporary that I don't really care, man, because I know that one day I'm going to look like a fucking, you know, I'm going to be jacked, and I'm really working on it, man. I'm getting my gorilla shape sooner than later.
Oh, I'll leave that one alone. But I did see, I was looking on YouTube. One thing I did see is they said Trap Gambino racist rants. And apparently there was a guy, Asian guy, that talked shit about you. I didn't really see what he was said about you. But you went at him, and, you know, part of it was a little, I'm not going to do it here, but you had a little bit of an Asian accent in the middle of the video. I don't think that's a racist rant. It's just you didn't like this guy.
Yeah. First of all, fuck that guy. Second of all, they said I was doing the Asian slant eyes and stuff like that. No, I was just high as fuck. And that's it. I wasn't doing Asian slant eyes. I was just high. And
so they actually thought you were slanting your eyes on purpose, but you were just high.
Yeah, dude. They posted this video on Reddit. They also posted videos of me, like, a bunch of different stuff, that I'm racist against black people, that, you know, that I'm a predator or some weird. They make up all kinds of fucking weird shit, man. You know,
there's a rumor that you were corresponding with a 14-year-old, and that's not true.
I haven't heard this one.
No, I don't know if it was 14, but there was you and an underage girl were online chatting.
Oh, the dick pics, right?
The dick pics. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's definitely. So first of all,
the dick pics. I'm sorry. I didn't mean that.
I'm not confident enough to send my wife dick pics, much less a 14-year-old girl on the internet. I have two daughters of my own, and
newborn son, your dick works.
That's just that's a disgusting thing to even put on anybody. You can call me fat, call me stupid, you can say I suck, all that stuff, but anything
you're fat, when it comes, you're stupid, to, like, and you suck.
Yeah, but when it comes to, like, to do it. Like, when it comes to, like, my kids, or like I'm a pedophile or some weird fucking out the fucking blue shit just to fucking hurt somebody's life and reputation, that's where I have a problem. That's where it's like, guys, come on, do you have anything better to do? You know what I mean?
So possibly somebody saying they were, you sent a dick pic to this girl.
I don't even think it's that, because I haven't even seen fake screenshots of that. So I think it's just literally just somebody just talking shit, to be honest.
All right, well, after the show, I'll be online looking up Trap Gambino's dick and see what I can find. But before that, now...
I'm sure it'll be a short list.
It works. You got three kids. Your wife just gave birth to a son, so...
That's, yeah, man. I have my first son, so...
31, three kids. You're a very fertile man.
Yeah, I guess so. I gotta keep it on lock for a while, man.
You might want to tie it in a knot, but I will say now we're getting to this. Now, the whole thing, when you were on Dr. Phil, at that point, you had not had a professional MMA fight. You had not had any MMA. I mean, you sparred in the gym. Now, there were some fights that you pulled out of or that things happened. Now, what I know, there was somebody you chased to Atlanta and he didn't want to fight. You pulled out of a fight. I mean, what happened? Why did it take so long for you to get your first fight?
Yeah, so with the Marquise incident. So I was supposed to fight this guy named Marquise, and it was during COVID, and COVID literally like stopped two camps in a row.
Right.
And so then the fight was like postponed forever. And then when we finally got to fight, the fucking guy who kicked me off the team, right before he kicked me off the team, pulled me out of that fight just because I did shitty in a grappling competition. I'm not a grappler. I like to put people down with my fucking hands. So I knew I was going to do that in that fight. I knew that I'm just going into this grappling competition because I suck at grappling and I want some grappling experience before I get in the cage. Right. So I did the grappling tournament. I didn't do horrible. I just didn't win. You know what I mean? I showed some skill in there. I just didn't win. And because I didn't win, and because I guess he just didn't want to look bad if I lost or something, he told me either you're going to be off the team or you're going to be out the fight. So if you respect me as a coach, I'm going to pull you out the fight and I'm going to let people know on social media that it's my choice. So he did that. He let people on social media know that it wasn't me who pulled out the fight. It was him who pulled me out the fight. And still, of course, the trolls are going to say I pulled out the fight. But he kind of took that fight from me, man. And I really regret listening to him because like a month later, I was kicked off the team.
And then you went to Atlanta to chase after this guy.
No. So I've never said this on anything else before. So it was just perfect timing. That was around the same time where I got the film Divorce Court. My opponent happened to live in Atlanta.
Oh, so they filmed Divorce Court in Atlanta?
Yes. So the Tyler Perry Studios, the Fox Studios.
Oh, okay. Great.
So I didn't say shit about Divorce Court. All I said was, hey, I'm going down to Atlanta. It was the perfect promotion, man. It was just perfect timing and everything. So I posted videos of me in Atlanta, like, where you at, Marquise? Where you at? It was fucking hilarious. It had him so riled up. And it was intentional because I thought I knew that we was going to fight eventually. So I felt like this is going to get into his head a lot. And I posted videos of me like walking around Atlanta, like, where you at, Marquise? Looking under like fucking trash cans and shit. And it was fucking hilarious. It was like a whole segments of things. And it was perfect timing because that was exactly the time I filmed Divorce Court. So I wasn't really in Atlanta looking for Marquise. I just happened to be in Atlanta filming Divorce Court. And then I posted all those videos right when I got home, just in case he did like show up or something. I ain't trying
right.
to fight in the middle of the street. Like I wasn't really like, you know, looking for Marquise. I literally waited till I got back to Las Vegas to post those videos of me looking for Marquise just to fuck with him.
And unless people think otherwise, Divorce Court was just a way for you guys to make money. You're not.
No, it's actually more than that. It's a scripted TV show and they hire actors and we're actors. So it wasn't just like, we're just out there looking for clout and money or anything like that. It was a good opportunity to promote our careers and make a little bit. It wasn't a lot of money. It was $1,000. So it was enough for us to, you know, have a little vacation. It wasn't a bad deal. And the way that we portrayed ourselves on the show, it made both of us look really, really well. And we planned that all out before we went down there. Like, we're going to have issues that aren't real issues, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So the show went really well for us. The producers treated us well. They edited the show excellent. It was a total opposite experience of Dr. Phil.
Right. Yeah, because the whole Dr. Phil, you're delusional. Yeah, you gotta achieve something before you start hyping yourself up. He's wrong, because we look at Muhammad Ali. He, you know, people before he fought Sonny Liston, people are like, he's just a big mouth, and then he becomes the greatest fighter of all time.
Well, you know what's fucked up, though?
like, you gotta have swagger. You gotta have something that people can root for or against.
The fucked up thing is Dr. Phil didn't pull up all the shit that I did do to get where I was, though. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't pull up the fact that I was a coach. I was an LFC judge. I don't know if that has anything to do with me.
That's a lingerie fighting championship. I mean,
that's a little bit, that's kind of an MMA credential. You know what I mean? I sparred in some of the biggest, best gyms in Las Vegas with some of the best fighters out
with
here.
With Bellator and UFC fighters.
Yeah, man. And I've trained with Dewey Cooper and One Kick Nick and all these other guys. Like, I'm not saying like I'm beating any of them up or anything like that, but I'm definitely out here working, man.
You're with top class fighters. You're sparring with them. Now, the lingerie fighter.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah, I do have a question on that because I watched that video on YouTube, and I got to be honest with you. You're better looking facing somebody than somebody taking a picture of the back of your head. So I kept like trying to look for the lingerie models and your head was in the way. But
yeah, that was lingerie models that camera guy. I don't work with that camera guy anymore, by the way. But what was the question?
One of the lingerie fighters attacked you.
Oh yeah, man. So yeah, that girl's crazy. I don't know. Jennifer,
was that fake? Was that real?
It was a little bit of both, to be honest. Me and her have some beef that I don't know if LFC could ever explore, to be honest. It goes pretty deep.
Unless they put you in lingerie.
Yeah, then they might be able to do it. But I think they were just trying to play off some real – they were trying to shoot. You know, it was a little bit of a shoot. I don't know if you know pro wrestling terms.
Yeah.
But it was a little bit of some shoot action. And there's definitely some realistic tendencies behind that. But that's a whole different story I can't even get into right now.
Okay. Well, you've given us enough dark martial exclusives. So now, so you end up fighting for Rise FC.
Yes.
Now, why Rise FC?
So I chose Rise FC because out of all the people who hit me up, they basically was like, listen, man, you have enough, you've done enough and earned enough clout to fucking do what you want to do here. Like, we're trying to build off you. So we're going to use you. We want you to use us. So it's basically like, instead of me fighting for somebody, it's almost like a business. Like, me and Rise are like business partners. So for example, I'm allowed to choose whoever the fuck I want to fight. You know what I mean? Whenever the fuck I want to fight these guys. So I can handpick my opponents, which is nice because there's so many people who want to fight me. And these Rise takes really good care of me. They promote me well. They don't want to feed me. They put me high on the card. For my debut amateur MMA fight, I was the co-main event above people who've been fighting for so much longer than I have. And I probably didn't deserve that, but they gave.
Well, you were the headliner of the show. Now, you say it's amateur. Didn't you get paid?
So, I can't. No. No, but I will say this. I got sponsored. I can say I got sponsored, and I can say
so it's
that.
Like the.
Yeah. So technically, it's illegal for promoters to pay amateur fighters, which is, I think, is stupid. But in my opinion, I feel like nobody in this world should get in the cage and fight somebody else for free. It's risking so much in there. So I'll say I wouldn't do it for nothing, but technically no, Rise Fighting Championship did not pay me any money for that fight.
Okay. But they paid you for commentary on other fights and other things, right?
No, I never commentated for them yet.
Okay, so who was the guy that you fought?
Arthur, I call him Slug, but his name is Arthur Sugg, so I'm calling him Arthur Slug because he's really slow.
Well, because I saw the fight, and I've seen two fights. There was one fight that I don't know what it was. Some guy hit you in the dick or something. That looked very fake to me. I don't know what that was.
That's not me. Yeah, that's the trolls that I was telling you about.
Oh, really? So that's some guy saying that he's you?
Yes. They, like, hired a guy.
That was totally fake.
Yeah, it was weird, man. I don't know what
that makes sense. Okay, that makes sense.
It was, like, some pro wrestling weird shit. It was, like, a fake Trap Gambino. It was pretty funny, though. I honestly wish that all my trolls would put that much effort into trolling me, because that was fucking hilarious, man.
If you're going to troll Trap Gambino, be creative.
Yeah, dude, that was a good one, wasn't it? They actually put some production quality into it. So, but yeah, that definitely wasn't me. I've only been in one fight, and that was with Rise FC.
So I watched the fight, and if I'm not mistaken, so I'm watching the fight, and this other guy, it's one round. He's hitting you, but you know he's not hurting you. You're laughing at all his punches.
Yeah,
you're landing a couple kicks, a couple punches. But to be honest, he probably outlanded you, and probably you would give him the round, except right before the bell. Yeah. You knocked him right on his ass.
Yeah, I would. You know what's funny? That might have been even a 10-8 round because of how non-aggressive I was until that knockdown, and then it was a 10-9 in my favor. But
the announcers and Rise FC, please invest in some audio equipment, because these announcers were screaming at the microphone, making it stagnant. Come on, we want some action. It was like one guy and two girls, they were just screaming in the mic, like,
I know,
we want some
man.
Action, you know.
Dude, the production quality definitely needs to step their game up. And for props to them, this last fight that I watched, their camera quality is a lot better, so that's cool.
Oh, good. And please try to hide the basket in the gym that you're doing the fights at. Obviously a high school gym. So you knock the guy flat on his ass. It's like, okay, you know, you basically landed the only real punch of the round. You know, I give it to you 10-9 if I have to be honest. So I'm like, okay, so he's going to come out and probably, you know, hit him a couple more times and he's done. And obviously you had a weight advantage over the guy. It just, you know, it's,
yeah.
And then you quit.
You had yeah, man. Say that again. The
you
last
had a
part?
Knee injury. Is that what happened?
Yeah. So, when I went down after him, after I hit him, so the plan was to not go down after him just because I'm not a ground guy at all. So right. I that's why you saw me like hesitate for a second before I jumped down after him. Just so when I jumped down after him, I landed right on my fucking knee and I didn't feel anything when I landed on it. But right when I went to stand up, I felt like I just felt like, yeah, I can't even like I was like hobbling back to the corner. I was
man.
And yeah, and like honestly, I probably should have and could have came out in the second round and just beat his ass with one leg. He really didn't have anything. I was giving him way too much respect. The only time I threw one combination, he went down. So like anytime I threw anything, it landed. I just felt like, I don't know, I scared myself, because as soon as I sat down, as soon as I thought about my knee, all the visions of my wife having those two knee surgeries on both her knees just went through my head. Mm-hmm. And I was just thinking about her like crying, trying to walk up the stairs, and the 8 months of fucking rehab it took her. And like, literally at that moment, I didn't even want to fight anymore. All I wanted to do was cry about my knee, because nice. I was like, fuck man, I'm going to have to go through everything that she just went through. And it mm-hmm. freaked me the fuck out. And I was like, I want out of here. I'm good. I'm done. My knee's done. I'm good. I went out. And they were just like, all right, knee injury. Cool. We're done. He wins the fight. And, you know, I'll give that to him. I kind of freaked myself out, and I should have went in there and continued to fight, and I didn't. And I got to live with that.
Well, you were very honest on another podcast, and that you said that you were nervous because it was your first real fight. And
yeah, everybody, I feel like everybody's nervous, to be honest, but
and like
that's
I say,
not
he was,
why I didn't come out.
Yeah. I mean, he hit you a bunch of times, but nothing hurt. I mean, and you hit him once and bam.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Or maybe
like,
it did
I wasn't
hurt
nervous
you. I don't
for.
Know.
Yeah, I wasn't nervous for him. I was nervous for everything else but him. I was nervous for the fucking like wearing my shirt, stupid shit. Like I fucking spray tan 2 days before I went out there, so I'm literally in the fight sweating spray tan. Like I'm not even kidding. It's like clogging my pores. I'm fucking like it. It was a horrible situation mentally, but I was thinking about everything but him. I was fearing everything but him. And I feel like it should have been the other way around. I should have had not fear for him, but respect for him, because right. then I wouldn't have been like so avoiding the fight so much. I would have just been there, punched him in the face and won the fight. I could have, if I just went in there and just let my hands go for literally 15 seconds, that fight would have been over, in my opinion. But we'll never know.
Well, that's the thing. You have this Trap Gambino's first fight to live up to. And honestly, the results are inconclusive. I mean,
yeah, it's a little weird. It's almost like they got a taste, but not the whole dish, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he was beating you to the punch most of the fight. And then the one real shot you landed, he was out. And, yeah. You did the ground and pound, but you did it wrong and you hurt your knee. So it doesn't, is the knee's better now, I assume?
Yeah, the knee's 100% now. Now, yeah, it feels great.
Now, I have to ask, because after the fight, he said that you offered him $1,000 to show the fight.
Yeah. So my wife is convinced that somebody is like pretending to be me and texting him that. I'm convinced that he's just saying that just to talk shit. So I don't know. Either he really believes that or he's just saying that to talk shit. But I don't know. Yeah, I definitely didn't know.
He won. What's he going to talk shit about? It's like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, you know what's weird? You can't really see this after the fight, but I went to shake his hand. Like afterwards, when they were bringing me out of the cage, I went to shake his hand and he just basically said, fuck you. And then in the back, I was in the back, like literally crying over my knee because I thought like I was going to go through surgery and all this shit. And I feel him like come up behind me, like kind of rubbing my shoulder, like it's all right, you know, kind of thing. Yeah. And we started talking and we were all cool and shit. And I had no idea that he said that on the mic outside. If I knew that, we wouldn't have been cool backstage. But like he said all that on the microphone and then came backstage and acted like everything was cool. So I don't know. That's the weird thing about being, I guess, like I'm definitely not famous, but being popular on social media, because a lot of these people just act so fucking weird, whether they're you think they're your friends or they're the people you're fighting. They care about things that you don't care about. I've lost coaches over it. I recently just had to like deal with I lost a coach because I fucked up and let a fan in as a coach. So it's been crazy, man. Social media ruins a lot of people.
This brings us full circle because there's the meta trap and the real trap. And I think, Nicole, I think I need to have a meta dark mark because I really need the trolls and I really need the social media traffic. I think that's what it is. I'll start talking shit about other comedians and goth people. And
see, I don't do that though. Like that's the thing. Like I don't feel like I'm somebody different on social media, and I definitely don't talk shit about other fighters without
start making fun of people with one arm and Asians and all this shit. But the rap video, by the way, the rap video for Villain, I recommend. I haven't seen that much slow motion twerking since Jerry Springer went off the air. That was, have your daughters seen that video?
They have. Yeah, they have.
And how old are they?
Six. And the other one she doesn't really watch music videos, but the 6-year-old, I definitely explained to her, you know, why daddy does the things he does and stuff like that. Like she's seen like the lingerie fighting championship vlogs and stuff. And I'll explain to her, like, they're fighting in lingerie because people think it's funny, you know, it's haha. It's like, it's different.
So how
it's like
do you explain to her that there's a woman in a thong twerking in slow motion with a gun right behind your head?
Ironically, she knows she could explain to you what it is. She knows it's promotion and all that stuff. She's really, really smart, man. I love it. That's She'll great. Watch scary movies with me because she knows I'm an actor too. And she's seen movies where I literally like murdered Ashley, because Ashley's been a background, you know, in some movies that I've been in stuff. And she knows about the fake blood and all that stuff. And she's really smart, man. She's a really smart 6-year-old.
Well, that's great. I mean, it's you got quite a family there. You're in Vegas. You know, next time I'm in Vegas, I'm gonna look you up. We'll hang out. We'll have a couple of drinks.
Definitely, man. We have to.
We'll have some Renegade Kush. We'll definitely hang out. But
have some
tell us again
food.
About about your next fight, your upcoming fight, and everything you got going on. Promote and just show me how it's done. Show me how to get people to go to your social media.
Well, if you guys like knockouts, definitely check out my fight on Rise Fighting Championship. Check out the pay-per-view January 22nd. And if you like being knocked out, check out Renegade CBD, some of the best CBD out there. These guys have my back. I got their back. And thank you guys for having me on the show. I really appreciate it. If you want to give me a follow on my social media, it's at Trap Gambino X. There's an X at the end of it because there's a lot of fake ones with, you know, all that other stuff. So, yeah, Trap Gambino X on Instagram with the 16,000 followers. That's the real one. Hopefully, it'll be like 50,000 one day, and hopefully one of you guys will be on there. So,
who's this bitch you're fighting in January?
Say that again?
I said, who's this bitch you're fighting in January?
So, I can't give...
Oh, you can't say who it is. Okay.
Yeah, so... But I do say it on my OnlyFans. That's one of the keys to getting people to go to my OnlyFans is I do let that information on my OnlyFans.
Thank you for reminding me because I almost closed the show. Nicole, not only does Trap's lovely wife Ashley have an OnlyFans, but Trap has an OnlyFans. Who is the audience for your OnlyFans? I'm assuming gay men, but I don't know.
No. So right now there's like only 8 subscribers. Which I'm totally happy with because I just started like last week anyways, but so it's like 3 girls and like a couple guys, but I don't think it's any gay guys, to be honest, because there's nothing sexual on my OnlyFans. It's literally just like, no, it's literally just me training.
I just want to sign up. Oh shit. Okay,
yeah, it's like me training and losing weight and like all the real stuff that I'm going through that I don't want to show on my social media because it's too intrusive. So I show it on there. And so if the haters want to troll me for shit, they can pay to troll me for shit.
And I'm sure there'll be plenty that will go to OnlyFans, look up Trap Gambino.
I'm sure.
Ashley, I would imagine, has more followers on her OnlyFans.
Yeah, way more. She makes a lot more money. Sex sells, man. Everybody wants to see ass and boobs, and yeah, that's the thing. So
right. So and you know they'll see ass and boobs, but they'll be closed over those ass and boobs, and you'll be getting losing weight, kicking ass. And, right. Talk to you, Trap.
Hey, thank you, brother.
My pleasure talking to you. I hope that I don't know if I speak for Nicole, but we'd love to have you back. There's plenty of stuff.
For sure. Definitely.
I would love to be back on, man. Hopefully I'll be back with a good knockout for you guys.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens in the next fight. If you win, we'll have you back on. If you lose, fuck you. Anyway, Nicole, tell everybody how they get a hold of you.
I'm at Nicole6Books on Instagram and NicoleH6 on Facebook. And then you can also read my articles that I write about Renegade Kush and Renegade CBD and all the parties in Los Angeles at renegaderadio.com.
Well, maybe you'll go to Vegas and do a party blog about you and Trap and Ashley hanging out.
Hey, let's do it.
Well, I'll go to Peppermill. We'll sit by the flaming jacuzzi.
And yeah, let's do it, man. That'd be a perfect little vlog area, fun. Too.
And the drinks are great.
They are. They're expensive, but delicious.
Yes. And I'm Goth Comedian on all social media. Everybody, have a wonderfully creepy week. Bye.
Bye.